life of Abraham for several months. We have been looking at this man's life. Let me, I'm not going to give you a repeat of 6 or 7 weeks of messages or how long we've studied already in Abraham. But, you know, again, just the whole view that we look at it here this morning is that, of course, God came to a man called Abraham, to be called eventually. And it was through him that he was going to bless him and his children to establish a nation. And the reason God was going to establish the nation was ultimately that he was going to bring his son, Jesus Christ, to be the salvation for that nation and to the whole world. So you see, this is not just one particular little isolated incident. There's a bigger picture. He didn't do it with Adam and Eve, although he gave a promise to Adam and Eve. And Eve thought that perhaps her firstborn, Cain, was the answer, the Messiah. He didn't do it with Noah, but he came in his time. We don't know why God's time does his time. A day in the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. But when God decided it was the time and the fullness of time, he came to this man. Why? Because he came to this man responded to him, he showed him, which we have from Abraham, is the gift that there is one God. Again, I've told you, this is the principle that through Abraham we know of monotheism. There is one God. Now, finally, in chapter 15, we looked at that before I left. Chapter 15, God finally says to Abraham how he was going to do it. He says to him, you're going to be a blessing to all the people and all the nations. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed to you, Abram. And I will multiply your descendants to the stars of the sand, as the sea is the earth, and the waters, or the sand of the sea. And so finally in chapter 15, he says, from you, from your own body, from your loins, not from another person, not through just having a large family of servants and concubines or whoever the case may be, but from your own body, which he was childless, from your own body I will give you the lineage, the covenant, the child who ultimately will have, we will now know, a child who will bring forth of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now finally, in Genesis chapter 16, we come to introducing an important personality or another person in this whole picture. Up to now, we've had Abram, God, Abram, Lot, a little about Lot. Now we learn about Sarai, his wife, Sarai. We haven't heard a lot about her, but now we're going to hear about her. And you know what they say, behind every great man is a surprise mother-in-law, right? Behind every great man is a surprise, you know, is a great woman, but is a surprise mother-in-law. So we are here now in Genesis chapter 16. This is where we are in our study in Abram. And so in Genesis 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had bore him no children, even though God says in Genesis 15 that he would, she would. And she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. Abram's wife took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into her, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was distressed in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to her, behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is right or good in your sight. So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Well, you know, I introduced this whole message this morning about the big picture. God chose Abram to eventually, through him, bring forth a nation that eventually would bring forth the Messiah. Throughout all this maneuvering and all this planning, you can be assured that the devil, the enemy, is going to do everything he can to destroy that, to circumvent it. In the very beginning of Abraham's ministry or life, he brings him to Canaan, and what does Abraham do? He doesn't follow God, and he goes to Egypt, a way of diverting him. Perhaps he will be destroyed there. Eventually, he meets the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom was a terrible man, and another way of reaching out to Abram, to lure him, to tempt him. And now we come, as I mentioned in the message this morning, on the title of this is Abraham and Sarah's terrible mistake. This is another terrible, terrible event that is a way of diverting, destroying what God was going to do and wants to do. The devil is always on your back. If you want to do God's work, be assured that the devil will always be on your back to try to undo what God is trying to do through you. Don't look for it. Don't try to say, well, you know, being paranoid about it, but you can know that that's going to be the case. You can know that's going to be the case. So that's what we find here in this situation and in this incident. So ultimately we find, if we go back just for a moment, in verse 1, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had bore him no children. She had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. Well, she had bore him no children, but God said she would have children. Now, you know, I mean, maybe not now, but God said it would happen. God said it would happen. And then we learn ultimately here that she had this Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. Now, let me just go forward, if I can, to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 16. This is the first time that Abraham doesn't follow what God says, and he goes to Egypt, and he has a terrible situation there. And look what happened. Therefore, this is Pharaoh, treated Abraham well for her sake, and he gave him sheep and oxen and donkey and male and female servants and female donkey and camels. Where did Abraham get this Egyptian maid? Over here when he was in Egypt. Which is, again, a principle that I've talked about many, many times. Sin is not an isolated situation. Sin has a ripple effect. What you do today affects your children, affects your grandchildren. What you do today affects your home, affects your marriage. What you do today affects not just you. You are not sinning in isolation. Now, the devil may say that. The devil may say no one will know about it. The devil must say no one, hey, this is you. You know what? Don't worry about it. You can get away with it. You can get away with it. You can get away with it. And then when you do it, the devil will say, you'll never get away with it. You'll never get away with it. You know how many times he said that to me? That's why I know it so well. I can quote the devil. Sam, you can get away with it. You can get away with it. Now you're not going to get away with it. God knows what you've done. And you know him. You confess him. Here it is. Here he picks up and she says, oh no, this Egyptian maid. Where did I get her from? That's where I got her from. That's where I got her from. Oops, I'm sorry. Oh boy. Where is my, what? I haven't done this for a long time. Get me back to the verses. I'm sorry. That one I want. Verse. All right, very good. Thank you. I'm happy you're here. Sarai, Abraham's wife, bore him no children, to Hagar. He says, now behold, notice this. I mean, this is a slippery slope. Now behold, the Lord has prevented me. Oh, is that right? Who's to blame on all this? Well, it must be the Lord. The Lord has prevented me. I mean, the Lord is the one who will conceive. We have relations. We're being intimate. I mean, well, look at this. The Lord's to blame for this. Boy, this sounds like Adam and Eve. The woman who you gave to me. And the serpent has said this to me. You see, let me tell you something. This incident didn't happen in an hour. This happened with thinking and reasoning and what seemed right in their own eyes is a way that seems right to man. And eventually it ran down in a slippery slope that finally he says, why don't you just go into my maid and have relations with her and perhaps she will have the promise of this child. Now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. The Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Even though God says, it will be through you, Abraham, and through her seed in that sense. In fact, if I can, and I'm going to be careful now how I do this, because I haven't done this in a while. In Genesis 15, 4, look what this says. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, the man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. Now, listen to this. Follow with me for a moment. Sarah could probably reason in her mind, Abraham, it says that from your body will be the promise. Maybe I'm not the one to receive that as your wife. Follow what I'm saying? It says from your body. It doesn't say from us, but who was he committed to? Who was his wife? His wife was Sarai. That was his wife. But she began to reason, maybe I'm not the woman to fulfill this promise. Maybe this is not me. She began to rationalize, as I told you. She began to think, maybe this is not the way it's going to be, or maybe I need to rethink what God is saying. You know, when you begin to have doubts, you begin to wonder what God is doing. You want to know the best thing that can help you at that time in that moment? The Word of God. Let me tell you how many times, I remember very specifically, a few years after I was a Christian, my wife and I, my first job, I graduated from Juilliard. I was a Christian only two years. And we moved in an apartment in the house with a wonderful family whose wife was a Jehovah's Witness. And she began to share with us and talk with us. And of course, I was very zealous to convert her from her error. And so one day, she had a couple of her friends come over. And we had a long meeting in an evening. I mean, this was hours. And there were the two Jehovah's Witnesses, her, my wife, and myself. And when I left that meeting, I was so confused, and I was so uncertain about my relationship and who God was. And I began to be questioning things. And the thing that came to my mind, I don't know if my wife said it or something, but I spent about 3 days, and all I did was immerse myself in the Word of God, and all that confusion left me. All that confusion left me. When you start to rethink, when you start to wonder, when you start to have doubts, and we all have that. We all have that. I sat down with a missionary in France who had been a missionary for years in Africa, and I says, explain to me the sovereignty of God and the state of Africa. That's quite a question. He says, well, God is sovereign and Africa is in its state. I said, well, that's too simplistic for me. You see, we all have doubts. We all have questions. We all want to take matters in our own hands. She started to take matters in her own hands. No, if it's going to get done, I'll get it done. Or God will use me to get it done this way. No, immerse yourself. This is the best cleansing thing you can get for confusion. This is the best cleansing thing you can have for uncertainty. The Word of God, the Word of Christ, the truth, what God says, from your own body shall be your heir. From your wife, from this relationship, shall come this truth and this blessing. Well, it's interesting that later, in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, we all know, is the hall of faith of famous people. And you know, when you read Hebrews 11, it says this, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. You know what it says when you come to Sarah? Look at this. For by faith, even Sarah, isn't it interesting? That's the only time it says, even Sarah, this woman who began to take things in her own hands and doubted, even Sarah was not convinced at this point. Sarah was not convinced. Even Sarah, eventually, through commitment and belief and reliability, herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered God faithful who had promised. She wasn't at this point. She wasn't at this point. When you and I are tempted to sin, when you and I are questioning what God is doing, when you and I are uncertain, it's because we are not considering God faithful who has promised it. To consider God is faithful. He has said it. I need to rely upon it because he will accomplish it. He will accomplish it. Even Sarah. So you have this terrible, terrible, terrible situation of what happens. And Abraham had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. Abraham's wife Sarah took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as his wife. This is not good. This is not good. Notice it says they lived here for 10 years. Abraham was 75 years old when he came to the land. It says that specifically in Genesis chapter 12. He is now 85 years old. Now, in between, many things have happened. He's gone to Egypt for a time. He has received these covenants and commitments from God. He has been blessed and separated from Lot. He has gone after, this all I'm going through Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15. He's gone to rescue Lot. He has now received the promise in Genesis 15. So this was not a whole 10-year period. Was it 4 years? Was it 3 years? Was it 9 years? We don't know. We don't know. But it says here a time. For 10 years, he was living in the land, and now finally he takes matters. They both take matters in their own hands, and Abraham takes this woman to ultimately have relations with her to try to accomplish what God was going to do. You know what came to my mind? 2 Peter 3. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, saying after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of Christ who said, I will come again? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as it was from the beginning. Everything's going on. Nothing's changing. There's another year, another year, another year, another year. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the word at that time, world at that time, was destroyed, being flooded with water. You know what they say? Everything's continuing. Oh, there was an incident once where everything didn't continue. The flood. Something happened. God intervened. Something occurred. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow. You think he's slow. I think he's slow. We question that he's so slow. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Patience. Be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. When we become impatient, we only start to worry. God is patient too. And so here he says, for 10 years, we had to take things in our own hands. No, be patient. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. Renew your strength. Mount up with wings of eagles. Being patient. Being patient. So you have this terrible, unfortunate situation. In verse 4, he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You know what's the amazing thing that comes here to your mind? She conceived. Well, you see, we're right. You see, she conceived. She's right. We must be right. But look at the results. She was despised in her mistress. The result is they began to have anger about it. They began to have accusation. Is that the work of God? No, the work of God would be peace and loving and faithfulness and long-suffering. But here, automatically, there is conflict and destruction. And let me show you an amazing verse, which happens later. You know, eventually, Sarah dies. Imagine, Abraham is an old man, and he dies. And you know what's an amazing thing? Abraham, this is chapters later. This is chapter 25, Genesis 25, 1 and 2. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah, and Abraham has 5 more kids. He has 5 more kids, but it's not the promised kid. You understand? She bore him Zimrah and Joshen and Medem and Midian and Isbak and Shual. So it's not if Abraham could have children, it's which is the right child what God will give, right? What the promise of the child, the covenant of the child, the promise that God is going to accomplish this through his work and his way of accomplishing God's promise that would see this happen. So now there is despising, there's jealousy, there's sin, there's anger, because it wasn't God's work, it wasn't what God was going to accomplish. And Sarah said to Abraham, may the wrong done to me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. And Abraham said to her, do for her as you wish. So what do you see here? So you see her blaming each person. The guilt of Abraham. I maybe thought of it, but you did it. What's worse? I thought of it, but you did it. They were both wrong. They both took matters in their own hands. And that's the big problem that we have. We begin to take things into our own hands instead of leaving them into the hands of God for Him to accomplish these things. No, no, I mean, notice this. The wrong done to me be upon you. You're at fault for this. It's been done to me, but you're. I want you to feel the guilt. You to feel the anger. I gave my maid into your arms. She has despised me. The Lord judge between you and me. You did it. You're wrong for doing it. Sarai, but you're the one that thought about it. Back and forth. Anger, accusations, despondency. You know, the scripture says two are better than one. If one person falls down, the other one will pick them up. But when both of you fall, that's bad. I wrote here that husbands need faith to help their wives. Sometimes wives need faith to help their husbands. Sometimes husbands need to have the faith of their wives to hold them up. I was about a week, 8-9 days ago with Martin Luther in Wittenberg. I did a concert in Wittenberg. And I was very moved. I've been there before. It was a new museum on the life of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther had a big bout with depression, and he was very much haunted by the devil because God was doing great things to him. And Catherine Deborah, his wife, once came up to Martin Luther and says, Martin, you act and live as if God is dead. And he'll never forget that all his life, he said. You act and live as if God is dead. I mean, his attitude. That completely changed his attitude. Completely changed. Her faith lifted him up. But here, both of them are falling. Both of them are a disaster. Let me show you an example of faith and commitment. This is Moses and the people of Israel. Pharaoh drew near. The Jews are out. Pharaoh drew near. The sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, it is because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? I mean, here were these people, and they were in a nosedive. Now you could say, well, look at the circumstances and the situation. Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Oh, that's great. That's great. Leave us alone, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, Moses lifted them up. Moses picked them up. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. How did Moses say that? Well, how could he say that with certainty, absolute certainty, God was going to say, you're not going to see the Egyptians. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Because God told Moses, bring the children of Israel out to this place in Sinai, and you will worship me, and I will make a covenant with you, and I will bring you the land of promise. God said it. The word of what God said. The power of the word of God, the certainty of the word of God, the reliability of the word of God. That's why Jesus is called the Word of God. He is the Word of life. That's why Moses could say with certainty about it. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back strong east all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the water was divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like the walls to them on the right and on the left. Let me read on. Look what God does. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all the Pharaoh's horsemen, his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them in the midst of the sea. And the night watch, the Lord looked down. This is God's work. This is God's covenant. This is God's church. This is God's universe. This is not my universe. The Lord looked down on the armies of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians to confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve. He made them drive up with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel. The Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." The Jews didn't take matters in their own hands. The Lord said, "Our eyes are upon you. You take matters in your hands and you do your work, Almighty God." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned, covered the chariots, the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them returned. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. The waters were like a wall to them on the right and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. They believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. 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 So you see, ultimately, that here was this confusion. And then he says to her, I'm not sure if this is the next verse, if it is. No, let me just go back. You know what he says to her? Let me just read it to you here. He says, "Well, then Abram said to Sarai, 'Behold, your maid is in your power. Do with her what is good for you in the sight.' So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her sight." You know how a good way to undo the mistakes you've made? Run away from it. That's a good way to do it. Get rid of her. Throw her out. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a good answer. Just try to ignore it. Try to forget it. Act like it didn't happen. Isn't that what the ungodly says? He doesn't see. He doesn't know. God says, "You're an idiot. I see everything. I know everything." That's a good way to accomplish overcoming difficulties, is just try to run away from it. No. No. Well, let's go on if I can. This is not as much material, but we can go through it quickly. Genesis 16:7. "Now the angel Lord found her by the spring of the water of the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur." So this is Hagar leaving. This is it. She's thrown out. Listen, she's thrown out by her child. This is the way to accomplish it. You know, just like, if I could say this for a moment, just like abortion. You know, we made a mistake. I'm pregnant, so let's kill the kid. Oh, that's good. The kid's done a lot of bad things, hasn't he? The kid's innocent. And what did I do wrong? But that's a good way to accomplish it, you see. A woman has the choice. No, you have a choice whether you're going to have sex. That's the choice. That's a choice. Or you can have, whether you use contraception. That's a choice. But now that you have the child, let's kill it. No, that's a good way to run away from it. That's why there's so many destroyed women emotionally through this situation. So let's just throw it out. He said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" This is the angel of the Lord speaking to her. And she said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Why? Go back to Abraham. Go back to her. You'll be protected. You'll be watched over. I want you to go back. And then, amazingly, there's a promise. "Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will greatly multiply your descendants so that there will be too many to count.' The angel of the Lord said to her further, 'Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael,'" which means God's hears, God heard, "'because the Lord has given heed to your affliction.'" He heard. "'He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him." This guy's going to be untamable. He will be rebellious. He will be slapped. He will be hit. He will be confronted. He will be in conflict. "And he will live in the east of his brothers." And then she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her. Isn't that interesting? Was this her salvation? Was this her Ebenezer? Was this her altar? She called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her, who ministered to her, who guided her. "You are a God who sees. For he said, 'Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?' Therefore, the well was called Beth Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bera. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham called his name, named of the son whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. And then, as we read on, now let me show you what happens here, if I can. So that's the end of the chapter, but let me just say a few words in conclusion. Notice it says that when Abraham first came to the land, he was 75 years old. This is when it first started, he was 75 years old. Chapter 17, verse 1, now this is the next chapter. Now Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Isn't it interesting? Chapter, follow with me, chapter 16 ends with him being 86 years old. It says that, if I can read it. I didn't do it here, it's my mistake. Hagar bore Abram a son. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Now follow what I'm saying here for a moment. He is 86 years old at the end of chapter 16, and he is now 99 years old at the beginning of chapter 17. Why? Because Abraham learned the lesson. And my friend, that's the answer of living the life for Jesus Christ. God is always willing to give us another chance. God is always willing to be patient, long-suffering, merciful, forgiving, kind. But if we take that mercy and kindness for more rebellion and more sin, that's why Paul says, don't you know you're storing up wrath for the day of wrath and indignation of God's judgment? What did they do for 13 years? They did nothing. Let's not take matters in our hands. They learned the lesson. Let's wait upon the Lord. Let's wait upon the Lord. Let's wait. But Abraham, it's been another 10 years. We're going to wait, my dear. We're going to wait, aren't we? Oh, yes, Abraham, we're going to wait. Amen. And when Abraham said, Sarai, it's been 10 years. Abraham, we wait. We wait. We wait. Yes, Sarai, we wait. We wait. I would have despaired, Psalm 27. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have despaired. I didn't think God would do it. I didn't think God would help. I didn't think God would answer. I didn't think God would accomplish. I didn't think God would know. I didn't think God would see. I didn't think God would do it. I have despaired. I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait, wait for the Lord. My friend, it's a wonderful thing to cast everything into the hands of Jesus Christ. Not your hands, not your taking it, but putting it in His hands. Your life, your health. You're in an airplane. You're in your car. Your future, your monies, your tongue. To be able to just put it in your hands. You don't have to do it. He will do it. Put it into His hands, waiting upon Him, trusting Him, relying upon Him, living for Him. Not letting temptation, not letting sin, not letting rationale, not letting reasoning, but His word, His accomplishment, His reliability. And here we find that Abraham learned the lesson. And you know, this is what we find, if I could say this, in Abraham's life. When he sinned at the beginning, we looked at this before, he learned the lesson. He went to Egypt, it was wrong, and God brought Abraham to a woodshed in Bethel. Abraham, where have you come from? I was wrong. You learned the lesson. He learned the lesson. There was another problem, he waited upon the Lord. My friend, that's a wonderful thing. That's the part of growing in the Christian life, is learning what God wants us to learn, which is molding us into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You're always a God of new beginnings. To think that as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and some of you were immoral, idolaters, effeminates, homosexuals, fornicators, and such were some of you, But you were saved, you were sanctified, you were washed, you were justified. My friend, God is always willing to give us an opportunity to learn and to trust Him and to rely upon Him. My friend, Abraham learned it. We can learn it as we are the children of Abraham by faith. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your promise to us that all things are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Bless Your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as He surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another.